What lovely singing. May I say it's lovely for my wife Michelle and I to be here again today. I think I'll be here in a fortnight's time and then I'm out of action for get two knees done. I'll be out of action for a while, but it's lovely to be here worshipping with you. I wonder, did you ever stop to think of the kind of people that Jesus met when he was here in his ministry on earth? Now, we have recorded for us in the Gospels some of the conversations and some of the meetings, and that shows us that Jesus met all kinds of people as he walked the roads of Palestine. He met people from all different walks of life. Now, maybe the trouble with us today is that we often want very little to do with someone if they differ from us in any way at all. We're not terribly comfortable talking to someone of a different religious persuasion or a different background or some way that's different or doesn't share our social class or whatever it happens to be. We kind of feel a bit awkward. And isn't it good to realize that Jesus, God's Son, was not inhibited in any way at all. He spoke as freely to the woman of Samaria as he did to Nicodemus, as he did to Jairus, the ruler of the temple, or indeed to Simon Peter, the big, bold fisherman. And sometimes we allow ourselves to think that Christ scorned the rich, but that is not necessarily true, because Jesus had followers who were very rich. For example, Joseph of Arimathea, who had a tomb that he lent Jesus, of course, as you know, had been one example. So the lovely thing at the start I'm trying to say is this: Jesus met all kinds of people. All people were equal to him when it came to their need. And that is still true. This morning, very simply, I want to look at one person that Jesus met. He certainly was not wealthy. It's on the screen already. He certainly was not wealthy. He was the one that was passed by the crowd. And he was the kind of person that would often have been passed by, let's be honest. The blind beggar. He's called Bartimaeus in the account that's recorded by St. Mark. But the passage that we read from Luke's Gospel, his name is not mentioned at all. But there he was, sitting by the side of the road, begging for a living. He had been blind from birth. Now, I want you to imagine how awful that would be. I was remarking on the way here the colours of autumn. We have the lovely sunsets, and we have so much of the beauty of nature that we sadly take for granted, we rarely ever stop to think about. And here was a man who was sitting by the side of the road who could not have visualized what any one of those lovely things would look like. There was no work he could do. There were no opportunities that were available to him. And the only option he had was to get out somewhere into an area where people were passing by and beg for a few pennies to buy bread, beg for a living. What an awful, miserable thing it would be to be blind with no opportunity and have to sit in the heat of the Palestinian sun to beg for money to buy bread. How rich is the poorest person here today compared to blind Bartimaeus? There are many things we can learn from the story. Let's look at it simply. The first point I want to make is this, what springs to my mind, is the wisdom of his conduct. The wisdom of his conduct. He was in the right place at the right time. Now, we often hear and sometimes use the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. And this man is a fine example of that. He had the wisdom to be in the right place at the right time. There was no point in sitting at home depressed and waiting for someone to send him a check, as it were, in the post, if such a facility had existed. He placed himself in the roadside in order that the travellers might see him and give him help. And if that blind man had sat at home that day, he would probably have remained blind until the very day of his death. Now, if we may be permitted to draw a spiritual parallel here, it's this. It's the importance of being in the right place at the right time. I don't know what thoughts are in your mind or what troubles you are facing as you come to church today. But I hope that perhaps for someone, you're in the right place at the right time. Because the fact that God's Spirit doesn't always strive with man. The fact that we're given opportunities which if sometimes we fail to grasp, we never, ever, ever get that opportunity again. There's a lovely story told, it's a true story, of D.L. Moody. You've heard of him, I'm sure, the famous American evangelist. And he reported in a book I was reading of how dangerous it is to put off decision of commitment to Christ to a later date. Apparently, he was preaching a series of great evangelistic services in Farwell Hall in Chicago. And he finished his sermon on the text to a great congregation of people. The text was, "What shall I do with Jesus?" And Moody finished the sermon that night and he said, "Look, I want you to go home and ponder over that question and come back tomorrow night and decide what you're going to do and put your hope and faith and trust in Christ and commit yourself to him as your Savior." But apparently that very night, the majority of the congregation that were present lost their lives in the great fire that destroyed the city of Chicago in 1871. You know, things can change in a moment. When a number of people went into a filling station in Donegal to buy a packet of crisps, whatever they want, little could they imagine how things can be cut short. It's an awful thought. But being in the right place at the right time and seizing the opportunities while they exist. Because it's true, God's Spirit doesn't always strive with man. Secondly, look at the man himself. I'm summing him up with three words: poor, blind, and hopeless. Blind, for sure. He probably didn't know what he looked like. I can't find it hard to imagine that. He didn't know what he looked like. He couldn't enjoy the beauty of the light. He had no knowledge of what the light revealed. And even though we're not told it, the chances are that the strong rays of the Palestinian sun would have hurt his eyes. There were no such thing as dark glasses in those days. He didn't know what it was to see. Poor. There he sat at the roadside, begging for a living. I tell you, a man must be very conscious of his poverty before his pride would allow him to beg for a living. Bartimaeus was a man like that. Hopeless, hopeless. There were no facilities in those days for a blind beggar, for anyone. There was no social security, there was no home, there was no braille, there was no medical attention. In all likelihood, this guy probably expected to die in his blindness because, frankly, there was no other hope for him. Poor, blind, hopeless. Yes, the spiritual parallel is a warning because there are probably people here who see with their eyes, but in the spiritual realm are poor, blind, hopeless. And when our minds are blinded by the God of this world, we can neither see our own deformity, let alone the beauty of our Savior. There's a lovely old hymn, I know it's maybe a bit Victorian, but it talks about the difference that when we're in Christ, how we see things differently. Love with everlasting love. It says, "Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine, since I know, as now I know, I am his and he is mine. Physical blindness is a great handicap, indeed it is, but spiritual blindness is an utter absolute tragedy. And to be poor in faith and without hope is an awful, awful condition indeed. I don't know how many funeral services I have conducted over the past 40 years, but what a privilege it is to conduct a funeral service of one who had spiritual sight, who was rich in faith, and who left earth with that great hope of eternal salvation by virtue of their faith in the risen Christ. What a wonderful testimony. Well, the story teaches us something else about the blind man, and that is, he was determined to come face to face with Jesus. Now, a problem of the 21st century very often is people want to keep Jesus out. They see Christianity as divisive, or they've all sorts of ways. Society at large, we're living in the post-Christian era, and that is, people want to have nothing to do with church and God and Christ and salvation and think about these things. But here was a guy who was determined to get to the very heart of the story, to get to the very presence of Jesus. You see, Christ's name had been a household name. He couldn't see, but he heard. And he probably heard about him, but this, he didn't understand everything, I'm sure. He heard about Jesus ministering in Palestine for 3 years. But the problem, the crowd was noisy. And the crowd that surrounded Jesus made it practically impossible for Bartimaeus to get to Jesus' attention. Ah. But so determined Bartimaeus was to come face to face with Jesus, he did the only thing he could do. He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What did the crowd do? Did they help? Oh, no. The crowd tried to silence him. Stories told day and daily, isn't it? The crowd tried to keep him away. The crowd will always try to keep a man from Christ, and we're told that he shouted out all the more. In fact, the Greek word he translated, he screamed at the top of his voice. Why? Because this was a cry from his heart. This was a cry of determination. This was a cry with a sense of need. He wanted a miracle. He desired to top the power of God. And such an intense desire from the heart of his heart and soul resulted in him screaming out above the noise of the crowd, for to get the attention of Jesus, determination to get to Jesus. What a different place our world would be if people wanted so much to know Jesus. What a different place our churches would be if members wanted so much the fellowship of Christ. How different we would all be if we were determined, as determined to get face to face with God and seek to know and to do and to put into practice his will. So often we want to live our lives at a distance. Ah, close enough to be a nodding acquaintance perhaps, but far enough away to be just the same as our friends. And instead of being like the blind man who screamed for attention, who avoided every hindrance, we are more like the crowd. They wanted to silence him, and they wanted to keep him away. Think about this man today. He made the most of his opportunity. It wasn't a great opportunity. He made the most of it. He didn't mind being conspicuous. He refused to be silenced. He cast aside every hindrance. And what happened? Well, the next slide tells you. He was the one to receive the blessing. He was the one to receive the blessing. One of the greatest hindrances in the church today is there are too many people like the crowd. They don't want the blessing for themselves, and they certainly don't want others to have it either. They crowd around, but they do it with the purpose of keeping Jesus at a distance, keeping him out. People today want it difficult, sometimes to make the church difficult. They want it as a middle-class, quaint, ancient society. They want the gospel in the language of the 17th century to add a wee rule or two, perhaps, to make it difficult for others to believe. Bartimaeus was poor, blind, and hopeless, but he certainly was intelligent, and he certainly was determined. And I think there's a real lesson for every one of us, preacher included. He shouted above the crowd, and he was noticed by Christ. May none of us ever be guilty of keeping anyone, let alone a little child, from coming face to face with Jesus. What an indictment that would be. Then look at how he received the blessing. He came just as he was, just as I am. Thou wilt receive, will pardon, cleanse, welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, just as I am. Notice how he was called when he was still in his blindness. Notice how his sight came after he came to Jesus and not before. And notice that he recognized that sight was a gift to be received. It wasn't something to be merited or earned. He received his sight immediately. I don't believe there's anywhere in the whole gospel that you'll find such a direct cry from the heart as we read in verse 41. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see. Lord, I want to see." And there that day, that man spelt out to Jesus the basic need. He wanted to see. And Jesus said, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." You know, in the spiritual sense, that man communicated to Christ that day the most basic need of all mankind. And if you remember nothing else of this sermon, I want you to remember this, that the disease of sin is far more grievous than the want of sight. Our need is greater than his. The disease of sin is far more grievous than the want of physical sight. If we have never prayed for spiritual sight, let us, like Bartimaeus, cry out to Jesus, "Have mercy upon us." And let us, like Bartimaeus, allow nothing, nothing but nothing, to stop us from crying out, "Lord, I want to see." We all heard of John Newton, the famous hymn writer. He was once a very rough man, an infidel, and a stranger to God. But after his conversion, he wrote words that are so often sung, and you know them well. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Spiritual blindness is a real tragedy. Well, the last thing I want to make today is this. It was the example of his conduct after he had received his sight. What did he do? Did he go home and sit quietly? Not at all. Not at all. We're simply told he followed Jesus, praising God. Isn't that lovely? He followed Jesus, praising God. He resolved from that moment to show to the world he had received sight and to praise God for what he had received. To praise God for the hope that he now had, now that life had been changed. Aren't there so many people today who would claim to have received that salvation and that spiritual sight? And yet, sadly, they don't have any desire to be found praising God. And you'd get the impression that their faith is a burden to be endured, not a privilege to be shared. A millstone round their neck. The natural thing, just like Bartimaeus, we learn that's the most important thing. The natural thing for a child of God to do is to praise him. You all know the Shorter Catechism. I'm sure you learned the Shorter Catechism in this church. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So think about that story today. It's a lovely story. It's a story of hope, really. Ask yourself, who are you like? Are you like blind Bartimaeus because you're still in your blindness? This could be the day when you change that. Are you like the crowd who tried to silence him and keep him away and not help him to come to faith? To see, help him to see a miracle? you like the crowd? Or are you like praising Bartimaeus? I hope you are. The end of the story. Received his sight. What was he doing? There he was, following Jesus, praising God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let us pray.